Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Forest Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and in this episode, I'm going to talk all about the experiences that you can have at Galaxy's Edge. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Forest Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Forest Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Forest Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon, and if you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there'll be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Forest Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it is time to gather around the campfire for some Forest Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, let's get into our main topic of the day. Of course, yes, we are still standing in solidarity with the WGA and SAG-AFTRA during the strike here, so we are not going to be talking about promoting scripted content as you know what we've been doing here the last couple of weeks. So therefore, we're moving on to part three of our Galaxy's Edge special, if you will, whatever you want to call it, this mini series that we've been doing about the Galaxy's Edge. Of course, in part one, we talked about the rides of Galaxy's Edge. In part two, we talked about food and beverage. And in this episode, it's going to be all about the experiences. And what that means is how you feel walking around Galaxy's Edge, the characters that you probably are going to see as you visit the park. Kind of shopping, if you will. Like, what are the types of shops that you can expect? What are the artifacts or items or objects that you can find on display there? And beyond that, what are the intricate experiences that you can do, such as building your own lightsaber and the droid builder experience? Now, I will caveat, I've not done the droid builder experience yet, so we're just going to talk about that a little bit here on surface level, but I look forward to doing it one day very soon here. With that, let's get right into the topic of conversation here. And I really am going to base this a lot off of my own personal experience going to Galaxy's Edge last year prior to Star Wars Celebration at Anaheim. And again, it was my first time and frankly, right now, only time I've ever been to Galaxy's Edge. And it left a lasting impression on me. Now, I did in part one mention that we went to Rise of the Resistance first. We rope dropped it. We went straight to that ride as soon as the park opened up. And then once we were done with that, we were able to go to the other aspects of the area that is Galaxy's Edge, or Batuu, if you're talking about it from a canon perspective. However, by doing that, we took a secret route that led us, I believe, through Adventureland or Frontierland in Disneyland. I don't necessarily know off the top of my head, but we went past what would have been Pirates of the Caribbean, and I think maybe Splash Mountain, and then went to Rise of the Resistance via that back way. However, there is a more main entrance of Galaxy's Edge, at least Disneyland. I'm not sure about World yet. But through that main entrance, you get to see the grandiose aspects of Galaxy's Edge that you're kind of intended to see when you walk in there. I believe it's like through like a little archway or a little tunnel, perhaps, I think. And it really transports you into Batuu, this place in Star Wars where you are able to have your own experiences, see characters, hear sounds that you're familiar with, and just be a part of a galaxy far, far away. And the main aspect of that experience is that in the back, once you get through that main area gate, you see the Millennium Falcon. Yes, a full life-size Millennium Falcon. And that, of course, is also the entrance to Smuggler's Run. Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, the ride. It is magnificent. There's no two ways about it, especially if you're a fan of Star Wars. And even if you're not a fan of Star Wars, I think most people can recognize the iconic iconography of the Millennium Falcon. It is a ship that has stood the test of time over these last 45 years that Star Wars has been a part of our lexicon. And especially if you're a main guru of Star Wars over that time period, or if you've picked it up at some point, you're going to say, wow, that's pretty cool to see the Millennium Falcon in full display. Like, it is so cool just to stand up next to it, to feel the size and the scope of it, and to get your photograph taken with it. It is magnificent. I'm gonna tell you right now. Plus, when you have the spires of Batu all around it, you know, this nice clay orange color, if you will, that is reticent of what you will find typically all across the Batu space. It's awesome. I really can't say enough about great things about that first primary experience that really sets you into this space. Again, alongside that, you will see other aspects of the Star Wars universe, particularly for ships, right? That's something that they were easily able to implement into the parks that make it feel like you're part of this new experience. So, of course, there's a TIE fighter, I believe, or is a Imperial shuttle. Not 100% sure on that one, off my memory's fuzzy. Maybe there's both a TIE fighter and an Imperial shuttle, because I know there's kind of like a First Order centered area of the park, but there's also an X-Wing too, and I believe it might be Poe Dameron's X-Wing. I think maybe that I'm confusing getting off of Rise of the Resistance, because I think you see one there, and then there's another one inside the park as well. So maybe there's two X-Wings. Don't necessarily quote me on that, but you will see an X-Wing of some sort. And again, seeing these ships up close and personal makes you feel like you're immersed into the galaxy far, far away. And let's talk about immersion for a second here. Not only are you just hearing the sights and the sounds, right? John Williams even produced music for Galaxy's Edge that you can hear as you're walking through the park. And you're hearing these blaster bolts and ships taking off and landing. These are great aspects that really just show that you are a part of this galaxy far, far away, this immersion. Even to the finer details, I will say, of Arabesh is all over the park. You will see on the trash cans letters in Arabesh. You probably know what it is because you are a person that knows what a trash can is, and you can probably pick it out. But you also see the Arabesh if you know how to translate it, which is really cool. They have the other experiences too, of like if you have like a magic band, I believe you can do like certain bounty hunter missions or find bounty. You can do your own little story there, and with all of that. And I look forward to doing that too one day in the very near future here. With immersion, I think you got to talk about the next thing here, which logically would be the character experiences of it all. In Galaxy's Edge, at Batuu, of course, this takes place canonically between episodes 8 and 9. You will see some familiar characters walking about. These include Rey, Chewbacca. You will see Kylo Ren. You will also see some stormtroopers, and they will interact with you, which is a really cool experience, especially with the stormtroopers, where they certainly have this dark side flair to them, if you will. Kylo Ren will also mess around with visitors. You know, there's probably 1,000 hilarious YouTube videos, TikToks, Instagram reels of people interacting with them. I know I love seeing like little kids, babies, if you will, trying to play with these characters. It's fun. It's all in good humor nature. And they definitely do a lot of great work, these actors that are doing these types of experiences that just really go above and beyond the Call of Duty, if you ask me, especially in some of the heat. I can only imagine wearing that Kylo Ren leather outfit that looks really realistic to what the movie portrays. And to do that in the hot Florida weather, I as a former costume character myself, I can only imagine that must be quite a painful experience. You will also find around the park the character Vi Moradi, who is a spy for the Resistance. You can learn more about her story in both the novel Phasma, as well as the book Black Spire Galaxy's Edge, which was written by both books were written by Delilah S. Dawson. I've heard great things about Black Spire Outpost Galaxy's Edge. I'm very excited to pick that one up, and just to see the added canonical details that will be brought to Galaxy's Edge because of that book. But Vi Moradi can be seen around the park, and she even interacted with Mrs. Forsco's Conversations at I when we were visiting the park last year. which was really cool. And I was able to explain to Mrs. Forrestco's conversations who that is. And she asked us where, yeah, if we've seen the First Order anywhere around. And we said, yes, be sure to avoid this area. And then she went on about her business. But you know, just really cool to be a part of that experience overall, if you ask me, especially as someone that tries to keep up with canon as much as possible. It's a fun Easter egg overall. And beyond that, there are shops, of course. You have to feel like you are a part of this experience. And one of the ways, especially at a Disney park, as you can imagine, is for merchandise to be front and center for everything, frankly. Not only do they just have the general shops, but it's also like a marketplace. When you go to Galaxy's Edge, you will generally find in between Rise of the Resistance and Smuggler's Run a series of about maybe 5, 6, 7 shops through a little like bizarre marketplace like type atmosphere, which has a lot of great items that you can purchase on display. And they're supposed to be in-world story items that you can probably get at what you would think you could get at a planet as you're traveling through in the Star Wars galaxy, which I found to be really cool. One of the things that I loved getting from Galaxy's Edge our last time was a in-universe stuffed, not necessarily stuffed animal, but it was a doll of Jar Jar Binks that we gave to our niece, who just absolutely adores Jar Jar. So we love it. She got that for maybe just as she was born or before she was born. I don't remember the exact timing of it at all. But yeah, it was a little bit after she was born. And then we were like forced Jar Jar onto her a little bit there, the doll. And she picked it up and ran with it. She likes having Jar Jar, and he accompanies her on drives around town. So, he's a solid friend as he is around these parts, certainly. So we look forward to getting more of those for her in the future. And they're just really cool to have. So that's a really great one. Then there's of course other things too in universe. Some of the toys, the action figures. I think I got us a Bok kit there. So all great stuff at various price ranges. If you're into that kind of stuff, you want a keepsake, a tchotchke, if you will, all that kind of stuff they've got on display and available and ready for you all. But if you're not just looking for that stuff and you're looking for some more of the higher end material, Doc Ondar's is really the place for you. And this is, of course, the place where you can purchase replica lightsabers of some of our famous galactic heroes across the galaxy, or even some villains too. They got all eras out on display there, and it's a rotating basis. I see on the internet what Batu West has, if you will, what they call Disneyland's Batu, as well as Batu East, which will be Florida's Walt Disney World Galaxy's Edge's Batu. Now they'll have different stuff out here and there. Maybe the deals will be different depending on what stock levels are. But that's where I bought my Luke Skywalker lightsaber. So, well, I will say it's Luke Skywalker's, but it's also Anakin's and Rey's. It's the Skywalker Legacy Blade. It's something that I had to have for my collection. If I'm going to get a high caliber, high quality lightsaber, that's the one I was going for. It means a lot to me personally. I think it's one of the most iconic images of Star Wars overall. And it has this continued lineage amongst all of the trilogies. So how could you not want to have that as your first lightsaber that you purchase from this area? But they've got tons too. Maul, Dooku, I think Kanan, Cal Kestis as well, naturally Vader, Rey's new one, from end of episode 9. Whole plethora of other characters too. I think Plo Koon even came up once for these legacy lightsabers. The Darksaber too sometimes is out on display. And the cool thing about Doc Ondar's is they have a line that you can get into in order to get to even just wield these lightsabers yourself if you're just kind of window shopping. You don't necessarily have to buy. You can hold these lightsabers in your hand. You can maybe ponder it, go do something else, and then come back. But you're able to do that. And if you buy a lightsaber or build one, which we're going to talk about in a second here, you get to, you don't need to necessarily carry them around all day. You can store them at the Droid Depot Center and leave your name there. And then you can come back and pick it up later on so that you are not literally lugging around a kind of awkward and heavy lightsaber as you're going out and about the rest of your day, wherever it may take you in the park. But also at Doc Ondar's, got a plethora of other items, clothing articles. And these are supposed to be in-universe kind of things, too. So don't, you know, take that as you will. The Thorian Doc Ondar, who owns the shop, canonically, is also at the place. So you can see him kind of being... I know he's from Canada. He's kind of a grump, which is kind of cool to have, too, in the back of your mind as you're going through there. You can hear him make noise and grunts, as the Thorians do. Indiana Jones content will also be seen throughout. I believe the Ark of the Covenant is something that you can be specifically seen throughout the space. Some Mandalorian armor, too. A lot of connective tissues to across the galaxy in that space. So definitely don't sleep on Doc Ondar's, even if just for the sake of going in there and saying you've been in there to escape the heat, even, which I know it can be hot in both parks, especially Florida. Make sure you go check it out. I don't think it's time that you will not regret spending. So just keep that in mind as you're going through the rest of your planning for Galaxy's Edge and what you want to factor in time-wise. And of course, you're going to want to do the other stuff in the park, too. So don't hold, you know, make sure you plan accordingly. That's basically what the mantra of what going to a Disney park these days includes, is a lot of forward planning. So the last two things are paid activities at Galaxy's Edge. And the one that I've done already is the building your own lightsaber experience, which you have to actually schedule ahead of time, as well as, I believe, droid building. But I had to set a schedule for reserve a time slot to do this for 60 days out, because they really only take like 10 at most at a time back to the space. You have to pre-select what your order is, in a way. They have certain basic kits of the lightsabers. I believe mine is Peace and Justice. But they have a variety of different other ones, too. I think there's about maybe 6 different items that you can pick from, or kits, I should say. Ranging from Peace and Justice to a more wooded-like and more natural, I guess, lightsaber hilt. And these are important because you get to select from, like, 3 or 4 pieces within that group to fully craft your lightsaber. And they go through this wonderful ceremony. I'm not going to spoil any of it because it's totally worth experiencing for the first time. And I don't think that my words can justify how cool of an atmosphere and experience it is. That's, of course, called Savi's Workshop within canon. And that's what you would need to look up if you're going to Disneyland or Disney World and you want to experience that for yourself. It's a little on the expensive side, I'll be honest. I think it's like $250, but for the experience alone, I was tearing up. I don't think, if you're a fan of Star Wars, for sure, this is a place to go and to experience this. If you're not a fan, it may not have the same impact for you, and it may seem like a wasted amount of money, or at least not money well spent that you could spend at other areas of the park that you're more interested in. But I think if you're listening to this podcast by this point, 125 episodes in, you probably like the galaxy far, far away a lot enough to pay $250 for a lightsaber, at least for the chance to build your own lightsaber, which I find to be really cool. You get to have that experience, the take-home piece of building your own lightsaber. You also get to pick your own kyber crystal. So they have the various colors, I believe green, blue, purple, red even, yellow. And I picked blue for my lightsaber because, again, I like that color. And I think it really matches with my Skywalker lightsaber blade. So a lot of fun stuff. And definitely a great experience overall that I highly, highly recommend. Wink, wink, there may be a fun interaction that comes in as a result of that. I mean, Mrs. Forsco's conversations can tell you, I welled up hearing some of the whole presentation of what was going on. Again, it's hard not to spoil it here, but just trust me on this one. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. Absolutely, you will not. The last major experience of Galaxy's Edge is the Droid Building Depot. Droid Builders Depot, I believe it is called. Now, of course, as I mentioned at the top, I did not go and do this experience. Frankly, I knew I was going to be spending a lot of money when I went to this experience, to experience Galaxy's Edge the first time. And I didn't know how big the droids were going to be honest. And knowing that suitcase space was going to be a limited supply, knowing that we were already going to buy other things, we had a day at California Adventure where I knew I was going to purchase some items there, and then we had 3 days of Star Wars Celebration ahead of us, too, where I didn't know what, if anything, I was going to buy or have takeaways for. So I said, okay, I have to make a little bit of a sacrifice here. And of, not saying that droid building isn't worthwhile, but I knew it would be something I'd probably get a chance to do later on, once I had a better sense of bearings for what that actually entailed. So I can't necessarily say exactly what it entailed. I know that you set a time as well. I think you have to probably 60 days out, maybe not 100, just 60 days out you need to do that. You could probably maybe do a walk up, perhaps. I don't know. I can't speak to how busy it is, because that was something I knew ahead of time that I need to sacrifice. So don't quote me on that one if you need to actually do a booking 60 days out. But you can build a droid there, and you can you basically go to this conveyor belt area, and you pick off pieces that are on this assembly line, and then you assemble the droid. They give you certain a framework for how to build it, but you get to. And I will say, the size is at most maybe a foot high, maybe a foot and a half. It's hard to really quantify without having one in front of me here, but it's not actually that big. I think it's agreeable for the amount of space that it takes up. So if you want to get one, build one, have that experience, take it home. I'm sure it can fit in a suitcase well, because they really had to think through that, and I should have thought through that at the time, too, that they knew that people were going on, probably going on airplanes or some sort of traveling mechanism, perhaps even internationally, that they had to make enough feasible for people to fit it within a suitcase. So I think it can definitely fit within a suitcase if you have like either a large suitcase or a travel-size suitcase. Carry on, all that kind of stuff. I think it'll fit within that space. But it's really cool. You can make your own droid, kind of similar to like an R2 in Astromech or a BB-8 type of droid. Various other ones too can also be mixed and matched to create a droid that is purely your own. I think you can name them at the end of all things. And you also can get, I believe, a chip that you can put into the droid itself that allows it to have certain characteristic traits or personality traits similar to what we see portrayed in the movies, right? R2 is kind of a sassy droid, I believe. I think BB-8 has a warm, caring nature to them. And that can be interchanged too, because if you go to the Droid Depot, you can find different emotion emoters for them, which I think it's really cool, and it allows people to go back and have different experiences, or if they want to build different droids and have them interact with each other, that is certainly something that is on the table. So that comes to the end of what we are talking about here, folks. We have literally went through all of the experiences, at least that I can think of, at Galaxy's Edge beyond just the rides and the food and drink options available there. So we've talked about just the overall feel walking about Galaxy's Edge. We've talked about the shops there. We've talked about character meet and greets, which actually, let me pause on that one because I think I've missed a few. I did speak about how this primarily takes place between episode 8 and 9. However, they've expanded character meet and greet options to kind of stay more current with characters that are available within shows that have recently come out, or that are super popular. So for example, at least at Disneyland, and I think at World now, they have the Mandalorian, Din Djarin, and Din Grogu available as meet and greets. I think Boba Fett and Fennec Shand are also available at both parks, but don't quote me on that. They're at least available at Disneyland, and you'll see them walking about, and you may have an interaction with them. Ahsoka has also just recently appeared at Disneyland, not World yet, but she is at Disneyland, which I find to be an awesome experience. I've seen the person in their full makeup and an outfit walking through the park. I've seen some of those early reaction videos from people that have been there. And I think the character just looks absolutely stunning. So I hope they're able to eventually bring that over to World. I know that probably the humidity and the heat may have something to do with that delay. But I think fans will certainly be hungering for that with the show coming out in a similar time frame there. So we've talked about character meet and greets. We've talked about shopping. We've talked about building a lightsaber. We've talked about building a droid. So that really covers everything over the course of these three podcasts that we've done about what you can do at Galaxy's Edge. And Galaxy's Edge is a wonderful addition to both parks. I hope that other international parks are able to get one soon, perhaps. But if nothing else, it's a reason to come to the States and to experience those parks over here. So I really can't speak enough more about these great parks. I think you shall, if you haven't checked out our other two episodes, to get the full 360 viewpoint of my experiences, as well as my recommendations for just Galaxy's Edge overall. And that's where I think we'll conclude today's episode. So again, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it, especially as we've been going through this different time period here for Force Ghost Conversations. Your listenership and your support means so much to me during this time. And I love interacting with you on social media platforms. So we've got Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Hive. Just search Force Ghost Conversations and you'll find us there in some way, shape, or form. And we'd love to connect with you about all aspects of Galaxy's Edge over the course of the next week here. You can also subscribe to the show. Leave us a rating and review. These are great ways to show your support of the show and allow us to expand to other markets, break the algorithm, so to speak. You can also tell your friends about us. Share the show on your own social media sites. We will never say no to that. Additionally, if you like the show and you want to support via other means, we have a TeePublic store where you can buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And you can also look at our Patreon site, where if you're a fan of the show and would like to consider supporting it through other means, we have various tiers available where you can support at whatever you're comfortable with on a monthly basis. And you can get access, to a lot of Force Ghost Conversations goodies, which, I think is a pretty neat deal when you think about it. So with that, folks, I will leave you for this week. May the Force be with you, and take care.